It's going to be better. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that your word minister to us as we go to it and we open our heart to it, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the things you're going to do today. Lord, we just ask you for your anointing, your Holy Spirit to minister, Lord, and to have his way with us. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for the things you are going to do. And know, Lord, that all things are possible for you and for those who believe. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, I wanted to go back. This series is on the manifestation of the kingdom of God. So I want to go back to the idea of the kingdom of God. Because that is really what God is working out in these days. Jesus did not come on earth to just create another religion. You know, that was the last thing that he wanted and the last thing that we needed. Okay? He came to establish his kingdom. And he came to establish his kingdom in a way that really the Jews didn't like it. Because they did not like to have a kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom instead of a physical kingdom. They wanted to have the kingdom of Israel established when instead God wanted to establish the kingdom in the whole world. His kingdom, God's kingdom. Okay? So, and this was, up to recently, I would say, the topic of the kingdom was really not much preached in Christianity. And you wonder why, considering that what Jesus did in his ministry was mostly to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, that's an indication that the change in the time we are in. Now suddenly, you know, without anybody specifically starting that, you know, there are lots of places in which they start to talk about God's kingdom and the manifestation and the things that are happening these days in terms of manifestation of the kingdom are much more than they ever been in the past. That shows the time we are in. That shows really what's happening in the world in general. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, after he was baptized and he was taken by in the desert and he was tempted, when he finished being tempted and everything else and he overcame that, he started in Matthew chapter 4, the same chapter in which he was tempted. It says, by that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, that is the message that he continuously repeated. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, again, the same chapter. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kind of sickness and all kind of disease among the people. So this is really, you know, I said it before. You know, up to recently, what people mostly preached was the gospel of salvation. And it's not that there's, you know, in the kingdom there is no salvation. But in the kingdom there is more than just salvation on an individual basis. There is the establishment of God rules, of God ways on earth, the way they are in heaven. And that's what Jesus was praying about, if you remember. So this is, we have to see the importance of the gospel of the kingdom, appreciating the good news of the establishment of his kingdom on earth. Hallelujah. You know, we had to recognize, we had to start thinking in terms of the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? And the gospel of the kingdom, you know, the manifestation of that is healing all kind of sickness and all kind of disease among the people, among other things. And this is the way he actually spread what he was doing. If you verse 4, 24, they come just after what I finished saying. Says, and his fame, can you say his fame? You see, that's what the way people start to know. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all kind of sick people that were who were afflicted of various diseases and torments. You see, that's the way his fame grew. His fame grew because of the fact that he was preaching the kingdom and demonstrating it. People needed healing. People needed deliverance. People had problems. They had problems then, and they have problems today. You know, if we try to spread the good news, and the only thing we do is talk about theology, it's not going to convince anybody. And today, the people don't believe in the Bible anyway, so it's going to convince them even less. They're going to be turned off. The only way to really be effective today is to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom. Amen. And when we do that, the results are going to be different, because people are not going to question the validity of what you are saying once they got healed. Or they may not believe that you can do it. They may not believe what you're telling them. But when, you know, they may not even believe when they see it for somebody else, because they are so brainwashed and so, you know, antagonistic about the idea that they will deny when anything is going on. But the fact that they deny the things about others, they cannot deny when the things happen to them. Okay? And God, you know, Jesus did that not to people that were necessarily convinced and wanting to follow him. It's just when people, you know, all these people went there because he got the fame. They knew, you know, this guy healed people. Maybe he's going to heal us. They may not even have been sure about that. Some of them were because they believed, but not many. But, you know, it doesn't make any difference to Jesus. They, you know, didn't make any difference. He was ready to heal everyone, and everyone that went to him got healed. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's an indication of what he thought was important and how to actually spread the gospel. Okay? So, Señor, let me continue here. They were afflicted with various disease and torment, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptic. So evidently, demon-possessed and epileptic is not the same thing. And paralytics, and healed them. You know, there was no question. Anybody that went to him, he never said, no, I'm sorry, you know, you're too much of a sinner. Hello? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was his reaction. Actually, you know, he got better with some sinners than with the ones that weren't sinners. You know, with the Pharisees, I don't think he got many of them healed. There is no record of any Pharisee going to Jesus and getting healed. Is there? Why? What do you think is that's the case? Because they didn't even ask him. Okay, I mean, he didn't, you know, in some cases when he felt led and felt compassion for, like, you know, the widow in Naim, you know, for the son, he just went himself and healed. But most of the time they went to him and he healed them, moved by compassion. This is the thing, the continuous message there. He cared because he wasn't trying to prove that he was Jesus. It was the Son of God. That's right. He was just loving people and wanting to minister to them and helping them to overcome what the devil had put on them. Amen? So, in so great multitude followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan. So you see, that's the way, you know, the impact of what he was doing was because he was demonstrating the kingdom and say, you know, repent and the kingdom of God is at hand. See, Jesus' ministry was mostly, was, I would say, almost only a supernatural ministry. Wasn't really trying to teach too much theology. Spending most of the time actually producing healing in the people they minister to. In Luke chapter 17, you know, now when he was asked by the Pharisees where the kingdom of God will come, you see, they were interested because that's what they were waiting for. But they were waiting from the wrong kingdom, you see, because they, you know, when is it going to happen? When are we going to be able to kick off the Romans from our land? That's what they were interested in, you know. And he answered to them, said, the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. You see, it's not that you're going to be able to see it. Okay. Nor will they say, here, see here and see there. You can go and see it. For the, indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. That sure went a long way with them. Amen. You know, just got exactly what they didn't want to hear. Okay? It was a spiritual kingdom. And he established that. Hallelujah. He didn't stop there. See, that was his ministry. He, in charge of commissioning his disciples to preach the kingdom as well. See, they weren't there trying to communicate any special different message. The message was the kingdom. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says, and you go and preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. You know, the thing that be able to do that, you have to receive first. But the idea is really the fact that you realize what happens, realize that you are part of a new dimension, the kingdom of God is part of you and you are part of it. And you just spread the message to others by demonstrating what you already have. This is why it's so important that we start receiving ourselves. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, and when the 70 returned, you see, spread it, you know, from the 12, then more, you know, until they got to all the 70, they were following him, saying, Lord, even the demons, when returned to them with joy, you know, even the demons are subject to your name. And he said to them, because they were casting out demons, they were, you know, able to see the same spiritual result that he was getting. Okay. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall from as a lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. I wasn't talking about serpents and scorpions. You know, in the Old Testament, those things are used as symbols all the time for demonic power. Okay. So this is really, and he said, I give you authority. You see, you don't need to have authority to step on scorpions and serpents for the really. But we're talking about demons, it's a different story. In authority, there the word in Greek is exousia, that actually means authorization. I give you the authorization to operate against these forces. Amen. So that you are authorized by Jesus' commission to do that. His followers were authorized then to be able to do that by Jesus. Okay? Trample on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So you see the power of the enemy there, the power is dunamis, which actually is supernatural or miraculous power. So that means that you have authority to operate above and beyond the miraculous power that the demons and the devil has. So he's given them, was given to them, the authority to operate at that level. Okay? And so they will be able to do it because it was not their ability or their authority, but his authority. Okay? So he said, but nevertheless, he rejoiced that your name is written in the, you know, in the book of Aaron. That's why. So essentially, you know, the key things is he in charge them. He commissioned them to be able to do these things. And then, you know, didn't stop there. When he left, he commissioned us, any believer. In Matthew 28, said exactly the same thing. You know, after he spoke to say, you know, all authority is being given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples, you know, and baptize them, you know, and so on, teaching them to observe all the things that I taught you. So Matthew 8:28-18, that's where, you know, he gives the commission to us. And actually, if you go in another book, Mark, you know, in chapter 16 gives a better explanation of what the kingdom of God relationship is for the commission that he gives. Because it says, you know, he said to them, go into all world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is referring that he was talking all the time is the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? To every creature, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and who does not believe shall be condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. You see, this is the condition that he put for the sign to follow. You had to be a believer. Okay? So, my name, they will cast out demons. It's exactly the same thing that you did before with the 70. You see? And speak with new tongues, and take up serpents, and drinks anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, and then he was taken up. So they shall recover. See, the commission was not just to go and preach, was just to go and demonstrate the kingdom. Okay? And it says, you know, later on in verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere. They are working with them, confirming the word with accompanying sign. So what the word was going to be, what was accompanying the word? They would say, you know, God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God wants to set you free. And now you are going to see it because we pray for you and you're going to get it. Okay? So this is what he commissioned us to do. Didn't commission us to just do a little Bible study. Because little Bible study, when it comes, you know, just a click. Doesn't spread. What spread is when you see the power of God in operation that works for the people. You know, and it works even better for people that don't believe. This is really always my experience. You know, if I pray for somebody that is not a Christian, they get it. So I have much more faith to pray for people that are not believers. Because I've seen greater miracles happening to them than believers. You see, why is that? God does love them, believers less than, no. That God loves just as much believers than, the thing is, believers, they have been indoctrinated in lots of theoretical junk that they cannot receive for themselves. That's the problem. All the ideas that they have been communicated to them for 2,000 years accumulated and are hindrance for them to actually simply receive. Okay, now, so if he commissioned the people when he left, he commissioned us today. you are the one today that has to demonstrate the kingdom. It's not just the pastors and so on. It doesn't say, you know, this sign shall follow pastor or people that have been going to the cemetery. Seminary. Same thing. Okay? No. Didn't say that. He said that this sign shall follow who?
The believer.
Who?
The believer.
Okay. The believers. Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay. So one of the impact of that is that believers can do it on others, but believers shall be able to receive it too. Okay? If they are in part of the kingdom, then how can you demonstrate the kingdom if you actually are not demonstrating the works for you? Hello? See, so what Jesus did is actually, he did it for everybody. Everybody should be able to receive. Everybody that is open is going to be able to receive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, he came to break the curse of the law. The curse of the law was simply the fact that, you know, you disobey God and you're going to get it. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. And so he came to resolve that issue because that issue was nothing else than justice according to God's way. God cannot accept sin. So you, if you want to have a relationship with him, you have to be open to him and be able to connect with him in his way. And so this was the justice part, but even then he operated and sometimes, you know, people, he was able to forget people that have faith in his forgiveness. Okay, but Jesus came to completely break that. Okay, he came, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ came to, has redeemed us from the curse of the law and become a curse for us. So he took it on himself. And because, you know, because it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. The blessing of Abraham, you see, Abraham in a relationship with God. So he wanted to pass that to others. And so that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So really, you know, what he did is to actually make possible for us to receive God's promises and to have a relationship with God because our sins were forgiven. Because even when we made a transgression, you know, through him, through his blood, he took it on himself. Okay, so we can receive from him. We can receive from what he has done. And he has made it possible. So today, because of what he did, we are part of the kingdom. The apostle and the disciples at the beginning were just operating on his authority. But now, you know, his authority is being, you know, the work that he did, this was completed. See, but the idea, consider this. The disciples, and they were following Jesus. But they weren't born again. What does mean? What's the meaning of that if they weren't born again? That, you know, their sins were still on them. They are not being forgiven. The only time that they can be forgiven is after Jesus' death. Yet, they operated all the miracles that Jesus did because he gave them authority. Do you see the implication? You know, you may know some preachers that go around and they have miracles happening. And you know that they're messed up. Hello?
Yeah.
You see, God uses anybody. Somebody says they are, you know, even a donkey. Okay? God can use anybody to do their work, his work. Well, you don't look at the person. Look at where the work comes from. The fact that you can work miracles doesn't mean that you are so special. It means that you just believe. See, this sign shall follow them that believe, not the one that are completely clean and they're completely perfect. Because if God expects for us to be completely perfect, nobody can do anything. That doesn't mean that I'm not justifying that we do the wrong thing. I mean, I think, you know, most important, the Holy Spirit, one of the work of the Holy Spirit is to cleanse us, is to clean up our life, to clean up everything in our life so that we can walk worthy of what we, of the call we have. But, you know, even the ones that are not worthy, if they believe, they can get results.
Amen.
Now, they can get in trouble, but that's their problem. Hello?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we cannot have an excuse. See, I'm going to push this a bit farther. We cannot have an excuse to say, well, you know, I had to grow up. I had to do this. I had to do the other before God can use me. God can use you just right the way you are, right now, if you just believe what he said.
Yes.
You just take his word and go with it. And if you follow him, he's going to clean you up in the way too.
Amen.
You know, some people say, well, you know, when I'm clean up, I'm going to go to church. I'm sorry, you put the things upside down. You go to church and then you get cleaned up. If they preach the word. If they preach the word. Are you following me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, he redeemed from the curse us, from the curse of the law. You know, we have to remember that. I think we should say that. You know,
Jesus
redeemed me from the curse of the law.
I'm not
under the curse. I am under his blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. So you see, that way, you know, all the promises of God becomes ours. Okay? Because we are in the right relationship with him. You know, because we stay in the right relationship with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus broke all the curses, all the anything that separated us from God.
Amen?
Amen. So when, you know, if he said that in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, said that to his disciples, he said, behold, I give you authority, exousia, which actually means authorization, okay, to trample all the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So that they were not even saved. Hello? So what that should be for us? Should we, I mean, if we are saved, if we, all the curses are broken, if you are forgiven, if you have a relationship with God, we should be much better positioned than they were at that time because they were just working on an advanced type of a situation. You know, you were down on payment before really be able to get what they did. So we should have the authority, I mean the authorization, okay, the authorization to trample or go against all the scorpions and serpents, all the forces of darkness, and all the power of the enemy. That means, you know, the dynamos, the miraculous power. That means we have both authority and power to work because of what Jesus did. If nothing, by all means, any means shall hurt us. I mean, we, you know what that means. Nothing. Can you say nothing?
Nothing.
By all any mean, will hurt me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We got at least two amen. I mean, Amen. Means so be it. I mean, we are not going to get be hit too many times here. You want to be hit more times. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So this is the position this is our position. This is the position that we should reflect. This is the way we should be as representative of Him. We should represent exactly that. That by knowing Him, first of all, we are not afraid of anything. Because nothing shall hurt us. Okay? Number two, we should go up in victory all the time. Against what? The forces of darkness. Our fight is against not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Amen? All right. So, Jesus conquered 2,000 years ago that. Jesus achieved that 2,000 years ago. Okay? Believers should have no curses on them. No curse of the law working on their life. No generational curses working on them. Okay? But they should walk in divine health, in prosperity, abundant life, according to John 10:10. Okay? No bondages, no addiction, nothing of that junk. Is that what is generally experienced? My question is, what's the problem? Evidently, we are not taking advantage of what is ours. Hello? Because if we would be taking advantage, if we would just receive what is ours, we wouldn't be able to have these things manifested in our life. Not only that, I mean, if we had to go out and do it for others. If you go around and tell somebody, oh, you should be abundant, abundant life, and you go around with a long face, with your shoes, with holes underneath and everything else, and say, that's the way it should be, huh? Then you have to go with the world. Hello? I mean, they work better sometimes than some Christians. That does not correspond to what the gospel of the kingdom should be like. And it's not that one should care so much about the physical things. It's the fact that we should manifest what we say that God wants to do for them.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So what is the problem? See, practically, we have lots of problems too. Okay. Why? Because freedom, the results of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, is not automatic. It doesn't happen just like that. The enemy tries to illegally, can you say illegally?
Illegally.
You see, that's the thing. He doesn't have any right.
No.
We have authorization. We have the exousia. We have the authorization to do what we do. He doesn't have the authorization to do what he do. He's like a thief coming and trying to steal. We go to steal his territory, or to take over his territory with authority. He does it illegally. So you see, the point is, when what you do with the thief? You kick him out. You take authority over, you put him in jail. Well, that's what believers should do.
Amen.
We should put them where they should go. Okay? He doesn't have the right to do what he's doing. Okay? He do it on two bases. Ignorance, because many Christians don't even know what is theirs. Okay, so you have to understand, you have to know what is there. And number two, by deception. He deceived you, he put stuff in your head that is wrong, you accept it, and he goes with it. And you say, oh, I'm getting a cold. Ah, You believed it to say it. You said it. That's really doing what the opposite of salvation is, isn't it? So you have to be careful of the ideas that you accept. That starts everywhere. Oh, my you know, parents or somebody in the family had heart attacks, you know. I'm a pain here. Oh, maybe it's coming up on me. Better go to the doctor because I have to find out if there's some problem with it. Yeah, he's going to reinforce it even more. He's going to say exactly the same thing to you. Yeah, your parent, your dad died with a heart attack. Well, you know, you had good probability, and you're there. I got it. Hello. This is the way the enemy works. You had to fight it when it comes, before it took roots inside you. Amen. The thought has to be fought. You see, the battle, you don't let the enemy conquer the territory and then you try to kick him out. It's much more work. Right. You do it before it gets in. You just nip it at the bud. Just take it over as soon as you can and you kick him out. Amen. When you do it at the beginning, it's easy. When you do it after, it can be really tough. Because the symptoms are going to be there. I mean, he can put symptoms on you in anything. Okay, at the beginning, they may even be lies. After a while, they become reality. Praise the Lord. Are you following me?
Yes.
He is illegal deceiver. All right? Just, and then, you know, it's like infiltrates. Put your little foot in. And after you just moves in a bit more. And after a while it takes over. Okay? So we need to understand his strategy. The vials of the enemy, the vials of the devil, the way it says in Ephesians. Okay? This is exactly these techniques. He tempts us with an idea to start with. That's what he was trying to do with Jesus. All right? So we had to understand, we had to have knowledge. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says very clearly that his divine power has given to us all things. Let's say that. His divine power has given to me all things for life and godliness. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, all the things are ours. By his divine power. I mean, hallelujah. This is exciting. You know, through what? Through the knowledge of him. You see, you have to understand the way Jesus works in us. Through the knowledge of him, who called us by glory and virtue, that we may have given the exceedingly great and precious promises. See, goes on the promises. See, we had to see, does my life reflect God's promises? Or reflects the devil's lies? And there we had to make a decision. We had to decide, I'm missing it someplace, or yes, I got it. You know, it's, the thing is, there are so many different things. Sometimes it's difficult even to figure out. And you know, when you had to conquer a new territory, you don't try to conquer everything. You had to conquer a piece at a time. And you had to make sure that once you got someplace, you move on. You keep it. You keep what you have. Because if you try to do too many things, you end up doing nothing. You see, when an army move in a territory that they try to conquer, and they take too much land, that they cannot protect themselves, what happens, they're going to lose it. Because the enemy is going to attack again, and you are undefended. All right? So we need to reinforce our territory. Work. You see, lots of people, they need healing, say. And they go for prayer. And they get a manifestation, you know, maybe they even didn't get everything, maybe they got 50% things. Well, there are two reactions generally that happens. Oh, yes, I got it. And that's a good thing if they say I got it. Unfortunately, many of the times, oh, I didn't get it. Just because they got only 50%. Well, you haven't got it. That's what's going to happen. You said it, and you just said it to yourself. You accepted that truth, and it's going to stay with you. But if you took it, say, yes, I got 50%, and I'm going to, well, there are, you just keep pushing. You just start rejoicing. See, one of the ways to actually keep pushing is to start praising the Lord because I got it 50%. You say, oh, I got only 50%, and it's a poor little me. I don't have enough faith. Maybe the preacher doesn't have enough faith. Maybe that, you know, God doesn't want to hear me. Well, just that's what you're going to get. Hello? You see, you had to grab Lambano, grab, hold on what God has given you and start rejoicing about that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So you just start rejoicing and start praising the Lord because in praising the Lord, you release His power to continue the job. And you start holding up to your position. And you instead of getting distracted, well, you know, I feel a bit better so I can do my own things. No, that's the time when you push harder. Because that's the time you already got some victory. And so you have momentum. You have to acquire momentum because more momentum you have, more you push it off. So you don't get distracted because you got only part of it. Even you got a little bit of what you need. Start rejoicing about it and say, hallelujah, God is working it out. And I'm going to get the whole thing. And you're going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. You're going to keep taking territory. And the more you do that, and the quicker it's going to be, you are going to accelerate the victory. Amen. The other way, if you give in, you get distracted. He come in, put new ideas inside you. Provides all the type of distraction you can think of. People are going to call you up from that you haven't heard for ages, but everybody's calling you up just to try to get you involved, try to get them to see them, try to talk to you, you know, and so you waste your time where you have to be instead fighting against the enemy. He does that all the time. Why? He's a deceiver. He knows that he distracts you, he wins. Okay. I decided I was going to take my time here because makes a difference between victory and defeat. Okay. You have to understand the way it works and you have to understand the way you work. And you have to understand the way God works. You know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is working on miracles. It's not miracles. It's working on miracles. Miracles have to be worked. We're going to talk more about that. Okay? All right. Do you get anything today? All right, let's make a confession. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
That Jesus
took the curse of the law.
And I am free
from
the curse of the law. And all the consequences
of the curse.
so I can walk in victory, in power, in authority from Jesus to overcome all the forces of darkness, all the demons that try to deceive me, that try to rob from me. I will have only victory in Jesus' name as I walk according to the word, according to your promises, according, Lord, to the things made possible for me, because all things are possible to them that believe. And I am a believer, and signs and wonders shall follow me, because Jesus is coming with me. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.